Good afternoon, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Elika First Half 2025 Results Presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giulio Cocci, CEO of Elika. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our calls. Let's go quickly through the agenda, the highlights of the quarter and of the first half, what are the trends of our industry, and then some focus on sales dynamics, financials, with some final comments to better understand the situation, what we see about the outlook, the main risks, opportunities, and focus. If we quickly move to slide number three, we can say that this is a positive quarter from a revenue growth perspective, with the second trimester in a row of growth, both for the cooking and the motor division. We see encouraging dynamics despite the business environment from whatever perspective remains, I would say, strongly uncertain. Positive signals in the cooking division are coming from the constant growth in North America, where the strategy is paying back. But also, and we'll discuss about it in the latest part of the presentation, I would say month after month, most relevant effect of new cooking products and I would say the complete built-in range overall our cooking brand revenues. Now, while on the other side, we start to see the first effect of all of the projects that we won last year with our OEM customers. Motor division, again, a quarter in which the 3% growth of the first 3 months is confirmed, is even stronger, where it's the heating segment that drives the growth. Going to the EBIT adjusted, 2.1 million, meaning 1.8% on revenues, short versus last year. Here, I would say that we are in control of the number. The intensified investment in cooking transformation is for sure putting strongly under pressure our margins. In these first 6 months, and especially in the last 3 months of the first half of this year, we have increased our effort in the launch of Love, in increasing the display in our customers, in training our customers. We have opened with a specific event our new Elika Netherlands offices after the acquisition of Axier that we did at the very end of 2024. And we have overall increased our trade marketing activities. We have implemented our Northeast US distribution organization, meaning that we started to pay the salaries, but sales are still not there. At the same time, from whatever perspective and whatever product line, if we look especially at Europe, the promotional environment is strongly, strongly, strongly promotional, as I have heard in other peers' conference call. The debt profile remain, I would say, completely under control, meaning that of the 9 million difference, if we compare our net financial position June 2025 versus June 2024, there are 5 million of buyback, especially what we did in the very last part of 2024. And then there are 4 million that are inventories growth. Why? Why? Because we see some positive signals in the markets, and we want to be ready with stock in there in order to serve our customers and to be the first choice in case of any kind of product demand. We know that in case we will see that in the second part of the year there is somehow a decrease in the market demand, we are very flexible from an industrial perspective, and we are very skilled from a managerial perspective to bring back the inventories where they were last year. If we move to the following slide, this is just a trend view of the last six quarters. Two quarters of growth in 2025, and this is valid for the sales. It's also valid for margins, where we are growing since the very last part, so quarter four of 2024. Here, again, what is driving is the investment. So, we will discuss again at the very end, but we do not expect any upside versus the current consensus. If we move to slide number five, we would like to drill down a bit our strategy in North America, because we believe it's important and also justifies what we have announced today. So the equity agreement with the 28% share purchase in Steel S.r.l. In North America, we have opened, at this moment, three companies: AG, that is following the whole Canada; Saudis Appliances, the first one, at the end of 2023, that is following the southeast state of the East Coast of the United States; and in April, Northeast Appliances. Both of them are specific distributors under the cap of Elica North America. The remaining part of the United States, we are serving with distributors. Now, Milestone, which is the biggest one, is the one that covers, I would say, the belly of U.S. This strategy is a winning strategy because, together with Elica and Arietta, that are our own brands, we distribute Ilve from 2023, Steel, starting basically a few months ago, but also Kobi and Tulip Cooking, that offer a complete range of premium appliances to our customers, which are the big premium stores. The more brands and the more products you offer, the more you have an opportunity to be interesting and to grow. We have seen in the last two years that range cookers product within our distributors have basically doubled. 2023, we just launched this direct distribution, but 2024, 1.3 million with Ilve. 2025, we foresee at least to arrive to 2.2 million euros. At the same time, we have more than doubled our organization versus 2023. Now, so today we can count on almost 20 salesmen, and we have a forecast, an estimate, of revenue coming from our direct distributors of 26 million. Why this strategy is winning? It is winning because together with our products, with Elica range, so mainly aspiration in the U.S., which is positioned as a very premium aspiration choice, we have included the range cookers. This is the why today we announced the entering into Steel S.r.l. Slide six is a beautiful picture of a black steel range cookers, but if we move to slide seven, I can briefly discuss what it's still about. It's a typical Italian handcrafted premium appliances, so domestic use, professional performance. It's based in Carpi. The founders are relatives of the famous Angelo Po, no, which were experts in commercial cooking. Now, they built this small company, 7 million euros annual sales, with more than 11% EBITDA, delivering 4,000 range cookers a year, but with an important investment in industrial capacity, because we can arrive to produce 10,000 units without spending a penny. The company is small, 35 employees, including the current shareholders, and have sales in Benelux, in Italy, in France, Australia, and a small bit also in North America, on a 15% of sales. The big part is Benelux and Italy. This is an opportunity for us. Why? Because we have instead a big distribution in North America, direct and indirect, and they have the right product. Now, so it's the perfect match. A product that works domestic from an indoor perspective, mainly range cookers, because the built-in oven range is still limited, but also from an outdoor perspective, you know, barbecue, you know, the bottom right side of the slide is a product that has an important market in the US, and it's a product that may come inside the proposal of our distribution company. No? So again, there is an immediate commercial synergy. The following slide, slide number 8, is just a snapshot, let's say, marketing perspective of the kind of products and ambience in which we may imagine them. The focus, again, is range cookers, multi-doors, multi-ovens, and it's outdoor, no? So still is absolutely representative of the main competencies of this company. So slide number 8, what is the strategic rationale of this project? First of all, the 70% of what any premium distributor sells to his customers is range cookers. So the deal with Steel gives us the control on the most important product that the US premium distributor must have. Full stop. Also, this product fits with our strategy. No? Because if I have a range cooker, I can sell also aspiration. Vice versa is not possible. No? So to have this kind of product, and I would say very good and comparable brand in my portfolio, makes me stronger also in selling Elica. I would also add that we have a huge network also in our indirect distribution. So having collaborating with Steel in defining the product development priorities, now we have a kind of jus primae noctis in understanding what is important for our customers. So to create additional growth opportunities outside of our direct distribution. The positioning perfectly match with our product and brand positioning. So if we divide the range cooker market, it's the third column of slide number 9, into three blocks, Steel range is positioned above the $9,000 per unit. So have the right specs, have the right measures, and have the right positioning to enter in our distribution. No? And we'll enforce also our offer. Out of America, there is also additional opportunities that for sure, in our perspective, is priority number 2, but it's in any case important to keep into consideration in a 3-year plan that will see us becoming the major shareholder of the company. The range cooker market in Europe are mainly Benelux, we see also from their revenue share, UK, France, and Italy. In all of these markets, we have our organization, our distributor, and a big knowledge of the customers. So this is an opportunity for us to increase also the penetration of this product where we have already our boots on the ground. If we move to slide number 10, briefly, the numbers to start and the deal structure. As we mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, Steel in 2024 scored revenues for $7 million with an EBITDA of $11 million and a net financial position of $3 million debt, no? Which represents the investment that they did in preparing their production capacity for the future. Their standalone plan, so the pre-transaction plan, is foreseeing to doubling the revenues by 2027. With a stable EBITDA and with a 50% improvement in the net financial position. Numbers that we have absolutely controlled 3 times, but that seems reasonable. If we see their performance in the first 6 months of 2024, they are growing 30%, 2025, they are growing 30% versus last year. So the trend is exactly correspondent with their future plan, based mainly on distribution agreements, so on contracts that are in place and production order that are running. The transaction is organized in 3 steps. The first one that we have announced now see Elica entering with a 28% share at a price of 2.5 million euro. That, of course, is based on a prospective evaluation of the company. The wave two will be at the closure of 2027 figures, so 2028, where we will purchase, there is a put and call option, an additional 57%, increasing our stake to 85%. After 2 years, we will have the possibility to buy up to 100%. Current still shareholders will have the possibility to retain maximum 10%. So it may remain a joint company because we have imagined a very smooth transition process. We have defined a material adverse change clause in our contract. So if in the first 3 years of the plan, their EBITDA, no, without considering in the calculation what comes from the integration with Elica distribution falls below the 24% of the target, we stop here. So there is not put and call obligation. We sit down and we decide how to move on. So Elica will not be required to purchase the second 57%. There is, on the other side, an earn-out structure. So the more the company will perform versus the plan, the more there will be an increase of the price that Elica will pay for the 100%. Now, of course, it's not a huge transaction, so it's a transaction that we can finance through our current debt. In terms of multiples and synergies, the big part of the value creation, at least in the first 3 years of the project, is based on commercial synergies. Their cost structure is very simple, their cost structure is very small, but the more we sell through our distribution, the less the operation cost. We foresee in the first 3 years to arrive to a ratio of 2.5x versus 2024 revenues. In terms of enterprise value, there is a range from 8.5 million to 10.5 million in terms of 100% shares price based on achievement of certain targets of 2027 EBITDA and, of course, net financial position. This implies a multiple of 6x EBITDA just considering the steel progression that becomes lower than 4x EBITDA if we consider also our direct and indirect synergies, so the ones coming from the margin of our distributor companies. We believe that this is a project that speeds up our growth in America and gives us a lot of opportunity also in Europe. So we start small, we think big, and we will scale fast.
Good afternoon to everybody. We will continue with the presentation. We come back to comment the result of the Q2, start from the industry trend. So going to slide number 12, here you have the Europe industry shipment. Cocoroots, in terms of market demand, cocoroots no change respect to the previous quarter. Still weak respect to the previous year without recovery. And for the aspiration hubs, even if we see a confirmation of positive trend driven by the conversion factor, we cannot say that there is an improvement in terms of medium going price. In fact, going to slide number 13, we can see the level, how much is still present the pressure in terms of promotional activity. It's still high for aspiration hubs and the same for cooker hoods, since it's mainly a market driven by replacement demand, where generally promotion and lower price are the main factor of this market. Going to slide number 14, in terms of North America industry trend, the industry trend show cooker roots with a slight increasing versus the last year, plus 2.5%. But it's mainly related to our performance since the coverage of this category is low. And this is the reason why we prefer to compare the market also with the cooking segment, where you can see in the red box that in this segment, the trend in the current quarter is the opposite of the previous quarter, where there was the effect of the China pre-buying products due to the tariff effect. Going forward to the sales dynamics, slide number 16. Q2 in terms of sales, 121 million, improving in terms of organic growth versus the previous quarter. 1.7% is the organic growth. And then there is also the negative impact of the currency, mainly related to the US dollar, for 0.9 million, but that is completely offset in terms of P&L. In terms of the H1 result, with 240 million of revenue, it means the plus 2.6 million of revenue growth versus the previous year, out of which 3.3 million are related to the organic growth. In terms of performance between the two divisions, slide number 17, sorry, both the divisions are positive versus the last year. Motor, despite a softening market that is still weak without recovering, is performing a positive result, plus 4% versus the previous quarter, thanks to the product mix, thanks to the new project, and thanks also to the market share that we gained against the competitors. The cooking division is positive versus the previous quarter for 1%. Going forward to the performance by region, the cooking geographic performance confirms the contribution from North America, plus 3.5 million in terms of organic growth versus the previous year, and also a positive contribution that from Asia that is called Area Fina, so good performance from our joint venture in Japan, thanks also to the launch of a new product. The EMEA performance is mainly related to the weak of the demand and the market performance, and some also UM customer in EMEA that is performing worse versus the previous year. The dynamics in H1 is quite similar to the current quarter. In terms of performance between UM and on-brand, slide number 19, both positive channel distribution, so both positive versus the previous year. UM, thanks also to the business win in some customer, is positive for 0.9 versus the previous quarter, and our brand very positive 1.2% versus the previous year, thanks to the launch of the new product. So the contribution of the new product, not only in North America, but also in Europe. And also, for sure, as we shared before, thanks also to the contribution of Area Fina. Line number 20, in terms of tariff effect, so no versus the previous quarter, versus the previous update, there is no major effect overall. Start from the China duty, that for the moment, for the current moment, the tariff is 55%, out of which the 25% was already in place in the past, so the incremental value is 30, and this affects the wine coolers, but in this case is the customer, in our case is the customer that is in charge for duty obligation, and is offset by a price increase that has been already executed equal to 10%. In case of fridge, since the main volume are delivered in Canada, there is no impact. For the moment, the US are not material, so no price increase has been applied by our supplier. If you move in Mexico, we know that for Mexico production is still valid the exemption that is coming from the US-Mexico-Canada agreement. and the new tariff related to the steel component is not material for the moment. Tariff from Europe, that is for our case is involved with our production in Italy and in Poland, that the tariff now moved from 10 to 15%. In our case, since the volume of the cooker wood of industrialization hubs from Europe to Mexico, to America, sorry, are not material and are only relating to the UM customer, for which the duty are in charge of them. And by the way, in case our product will be not competitive, we are ready to offer to our customer the Mexican production in order to be competitive in case it is needed. Last, for the orange cooker, in case for the orange cooker, the impact in terms of price increase, we estimated that it will be not more than 5%, considering the level of the transfer price that we have in place. And considering that it is a product inside the medium band, installed, by the way, inside a cooker furniture with higher price, we think that the price increase of 5% is not representing a risk. Going forward to the P&L, slide number 2022. In terms of revenue, we have already shared the impact and the driver, 120 million of revenue. In terms of EBITDA of EBIT, we are recording an improvement versus the last two quarters, and it is in line with our expectation. EBITDA 7.9 million equal to 6.5% on revenue, EBIT 2.1 million equal to 1.8% on revenue. The profitability is below 100 basis points, but Julie explained it is mainly due to the level of investment that is still high to support, to sustain the launch of the new product, the investment that we are doing for expansion of our direct distribution in North America. And by the way, we are continuous to be focused on containment of SG&A. In fact, if we see the reported EBITDA equal to 0.9, there is the impact between the adjusted EBITDA of the EBIT for the restructuring cost, like China restructure, part of the China restructuring cost to optimize the organization in China, and some additional SG&A optimization, and also the last activity related to the last recent acquisition of M&A. In terms of financial charge, we are aligned with the last year. And in terms of net profit, is negative for 1.9 million, with a group net profit of negative for 2.2 million. Going forward to the net financial position, 45 million of net financial position, that this means a gap versus the previous year of 9 million, but out of which 5.5 million are related to the coming from the opening balance for the impact of the buyback that we did during the last part of the year. And then after the first quarter, where the net financial position was substantially light with the last year, during the current quarter, we adequate the level of the stock aligned with the trend of the sales. So the increasing of the stock is also a consequence of the increasing of the enlargement of distribution of the new product. But we are keeping, and so we are managing this part, keeping focus that in case we need to stretch again the inventory, we are ready as usual with our flexibility. In terms of operating cash flow, we are keeping the capex under control, 2.5 million better versus the previous year, that is balanced partially the cash out effect for 1.4 million relating to the leaseback agreement that we set for our Poland motor division. In terms of covenant, we are under the leverage is under our covenant 1.8 versus EBITDA.
So going to the closing remarks, I believe this slide is very important for us, no? Because this slide shows the brand sales variance H1 2025 versus the first six months of 2024. No, what we see? We see that the Cukelutz, let's say the aspiration, ventilation part of our business is decreasing. No, Cukelutz is decreasing of an absolute value of 2.5 million. This is just brand sales, no, I want to be clear, no? Why? We didn't lose any share. No, this is a market. This is purely market. Aspiration ops is flat, but this flat means that we are growing in the region of 10% from a volume perspective, but from a revenue perspective, we had to play the game, so to go, especially in France, especially in with some customers in Italy, with promotion, no, or changing the specs. So, adding new products with the same percentage margin, but with a lower price. Now, this is what we saw in the previous slide about the pricing trend of the market. But the big jump versus last year is all coming from new products. This is a delta. So 5 million came from induction ops that we produce in Poland, Elica branded, from Love, that is starting very well, I would say, meaning that we had an estimate, now considering that the product is brand new, to sell between 800,000-900,000 euro of Love in the world, 2025, we did in six months. So the trend is the right one. It's range cookers, no? With the first sales of Thiel, but also the growth with Ilve that we distribute only in the southeast part of the U.S. But it's also fridges that we sell in Canada, Elica branded. It's also wine cooler, it's also ovens. So this means that the strategy of adding products is the right one. If we remain just ventilation, we will go with the wind. Okay? Another important topic of this slide is that 5 million of a total of 7 million of, let's say, non-ventilation product sales is buy-to-sell products. No? So, with the exclusion of induction ops and Love, the rest of the products we buy and we sell. No, so this makes a consistent the choice that we made also for profitability reason, of course, but to change to close, to put a point on our strategy in China. So China is a sourcing hub. No, it needs to buy the best products in terms of quality, in terms of supplier chain, in terms of price, of course, and give to Europe and mainly to U.S., in order to be more competitive, more complete in terms of product range, so to get additional opportunities. But I would say that these first six months are fully representative of what we are saying since months, so that the change is arriving, no? And the important thing of this slide, the important message of this slide, as Luca Barboni, the managing director of the cooking division, was saying today during the board of directors, is that this slide means that our customers are believing in the project, no, and also ourselves, no? So this is an important milestone. This is really what will generate a different Elica in the midterm. If we move to slide number 26, we go to the final comments, no? So what we take away from H1, dynamics are positive, no? The growth is solid, the growth come from new products, the growth comes from operations, the growth come from distribution, not absolutely from market trends, no? So this is good. This is what we mentioned when we planned the year. There are still six months ahead of us. We see a lot of opportunities. We see also some risks. In the last 2 years, the second part of the year has always been a disaster. No? Why? Because the demand was low. Why? Because the focus of some of our customers became their inventories. No? So we see a healthy third quarter, but let's discuss in October and let's take some days of holidays in the incoming weeks. We see, we just commented, a significant contribution coming from new cooking and heating range. This is a good sign. This is a milestone. And we see a big opportunity, as we commented, in the partnership with Steel. Because it makes us stronger, because it makes us driving a product which, in some geographies, mainly in the U.S., is the key product to help selling all of the others. So the takeaway, the main takeaway is that the transformation is following its path. Now, we know, we see, we comment that there is an impact on the margin, but we know that this is the price to pay, no? To become something different, to become something stronger, to become a different company. What do we expect from 2025? We expect an industry that, in the best case, will be flat. No, I've seen Whirlpool, Electrolux presentations, everybody is between zero and minus something. No, not double digit. Nobody is expecting a disaster like 2 years ago, but we do not expect our market to be to become healthy from overnight. No, so that's the rule of the game. The geopolitical scenario, that is what at the end makes a normal person like Giulio Cocci believe that is the moment to buy a new house and maybe also an Erika appliance, will remain uncertain. On the other side, all of the opportunities that we've been discussing in terms of market development, in terms of undersupply of new housing, and this is valid for Europe and for US, no, this is our championship, are still there, so sooner or later we'll come and we'll meet an Elica, which is a full-range product, Elica instead of just a ventilation expert. So our guidance is positive in terms of revenues. We foresee a small growth, 0.5% versus 2024. I would say 1% if we do not consider the fact that we are now stopping to sell Elica and Tutti in China that have a 0.5 effect. So organically, if we consider this operation not organic, a 1% growth year on year. Margins at consensus. Whatever penny comes because we sell more, because we sell better, we are going to invest in our transformation project because it will come back earlier. So that's a decision. We foresee instead an improvement in net financial position because the dynamics are positive because in case something bad happens to the demand, we are very much fast in reducing our stock, but if things goes better, our stock is already there to serve the customers. So it will become a lever, now considering that we pay our supplier at 100 days and we collect our money at 60. Thank you. We are looking forward to answer your questions.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use the handset when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Emanuele Negri, Mediobanca.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for the presentation and for taking my question. I have a couple, which are actually clarification on the guidance. The first one is on the revenue guidance. You mentioned to expect a 0.5% growth compared to 2024. Could you please quantify the impact of Forex in this number? And the second one is, again, on the guidance. It is on margins. You said to expect margins in line with consensus. Could you please give us an idea of which consensus are you looking at in terms of adjusted EBIT margin? Thanks.
Okay. So, but Forex, question number one, so 0.5% means starting from the current situation now. So, Forex effect is included in the whole number. So we expect that if we take the full revenues 2024 and you add the 0.5%, that's what we see. That 0.5 would be 1%, but we have an effect coming from the consolidation, the stopping sales in China, which is in the region of 1.5 to 2 million euros. So this should be added on top to have an organic view or a constant perimeter view of our sales projection. As I mentioned, we see some opportunities, no? But we want to be prudent because, again, there is a big investment ongoing. So to be too much optimistic on revenues means that you may be too much flexible on costs. No, we know that we have to spend a lot of money, but we want to base our strategy on the how can I say, the worst case scenario, even in terms of revenue. So I would say that this is there are more opportunities than risks in this number. For what concerns the second point, there was a problem with the audio, so we missed that. Sorry, if you can repeat the second question, Emanuele, I would appreciate.
Yeah, sure, no problem. You mentioned in the guidance to expect margins in line with consensus. Can you please give us an idea of which kind of consensus are you looking at in terms of adjusted EBIT margin?
In terms of consensus for EBIT margin, we are referring to around 6 million of EBIT adjusted. So this is the reference that we are taking.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much.
That is the average of the consensus that we received from from the analyst.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star N1 on your telephone. Next question is from Carlo Maritano, Intermonte.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just have a quick question, is a clarification on guidance as well. It is on the net financial position guidance. I was wondering if your expectation include the cash out for the first tranche for the Steel acquisition, and if you expect a reversal of net working capital in next quarter to explain the big improvement implied in the guidance. Thank you.
So, yes, it does. No, so we did, despite the acquisition that, as in the presentation, is a will imply a cash out of 2.5 million euros, so not a huge one. We foresee an improvement versus the current value of the net financial position. In terms of inventories, as I mentioned, we are not worried because from a side, no, the dynamics that we see both in cooking and in motor division, supported by forecasts, seems to be positive. No? So this is not even an overstock. No, it's distributing the stock closer to our customers. Should be sold, let's say, by the 31st of December at midnight. At the same time, now what we have experienced in the last couple of years has been, it won't be the case this year, but it was a big drop of demand in the second part of the year, and we were able, because we are flexible, both in terms of managing the suppliers, then in terms of production capacity and workforce management, to decrease our production volume. I mean, we will be able to bring it back where it should be. So, in the worst case, the same level the inventories were by the end of last year.
Okay, thank you, Julio. Just a follow-up. So, the improvement in net financial position has to be intended compared to the level of the first semester, not the end of 2024, is correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Compared to the current quarter and the first semester, not compared to the previous year.
Okay, thank you.
So compared to 54 million of net financial position.
Ah, okay.
Thank you.
For any further questions, please press star N1 on your telephone. Mr. Cocchi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. So thanks a lot.
Apologies, we have one more question.
Okay.
Emanuele Negri, Mediobanca.
Yeah, sorry, just a quick follow-up. You mentioned to expect steel revenues to double versus 2024 in 2027 on a standalone basis. Could you please give us an idea of the main drivers around this important growth you expect in the company you enter the capital, please?
For sure, American distributors. The growth in North America is a plus. This comes for sure with our help, but also with their, business development activity that was, before we joined together in this project. No? So they have agreements and contracts in hand. They have a growth path in Australia, no, where we are very small. No, and they entered in a big distributor, so they see opportunities also in Australia. They have some increasing revenues coming from the outdoor sectors, mainly in Italy and in Belgium. No, so these are the three main guidelines. The big part of the path will come working together, no? So we see a huge opportunities that brings 2.5 times the current revenues working together with our distribution and having still entering with that part of indirect distribution in which we are already in, no? So this North America thing is very much important in the past, but they had already a very structured agreement plan. That is what we discussed basically also in defining the material adverse clause and the basic contract rules.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Mr. Cocchi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Very good. So thanks again, and available as always for any specific discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.